Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morning, the dark night will fade away.
Go to Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Then the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But rather go ye, rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Go to people that can sell some oil and get it for yourself. Sunday morning is all about getting oil, isn't it? All about getting wisdom, getting light, getting help that will help us sustain our walk. You know Jesus is coming? I'm totally convinced. I'm a believer in this stuff. Amen. Everybody say, Jesus is coming. And we got to be ready when he comes. So we say, well, I'm saved already. I'm saved. I expect it. I've been dunked in water and I said the sinner's prayer. No, you got to have your lamps trimmed and burning when Jesus gets here. Amen? And people don't think it necessary to store up. If you look at this ministry and you look at what this job is right now, you look at Sunday morning is all about coming to collect oil. Nobody wants to go to church when they don't think Jesus is coming. But I tell you what, when they start to hear people cry at the midnight hour, notice that when the towers fell down, I couldn't get out of my house. Because I lived by 3 churches. There was a crowd all the way down Woodlands Parkway. People running to church. Why? Because there was a midnight cry. Hey man, the towers came down. Jesus might be coming. People get alarmed. When they see signs and different things coming, everybody gets alarmed. Everybody tries to run in there and get some oil. Amen? Amen. Foolish people flow that way. Amen. But the wise people know on the inside of their heart that Jesus is coming. They're going to need a little bit more. Amen? I believe this. Now, this is my thing. You can believe whatever you want to. You know, somebody say the rapture. I happen to be one of those rapture people. And I don't believe that the rapture is the end. I don't believe the rapture is the end. I don't believe that the rapture is subject to anything. There is no time frame for the rapture. It's not based on anything that happens on the earth. It could come last week. There are no prophecies saying when this stuff happens, then you'll see the rapture comes. Said, so when you see these things happen, then the end shall be. The rapture is not the end. You can study these things on your own. Why do I believe the church is raptured? Because the devil going to beat everybody up? No. Why do I think the church is raptured? You know why? Because the devil will never be able to do anything that he has to do in the end with a believer on it. How is he going to be able to take over and run things and do all this other stuff and afflict people when they got people with the word of faith there and the Bible's telling us we're supposed to be healed? How are you going to kill people when we got the authority of God? He's not going to be able to do anything with faith-filled believers there. I think that the rapture is not just to catch us, a way to protect us. I believe the rapture is going to happen because God's going to develop some saints and some people that are strong enough to hold back the forces of hell. And instead of God pulling us away from, pulling us to get us out of things because it's going to get real bad, I believe God's going to pull the church off the devil's back. The Bible says, until he that holds him back is taken away. Who's he that holds him back? The Holy Ghost in us. And I believe these 5 virgins, 5 represents grace. Notice that they were all virgins and they were all waiting. That means they were all engaged. This is my opinion. You're not going to go to hell if you believe it. Amen. You won't go to hell if you don't believe it. 5 of them were taken. I believe the rapture is going to take place by faith. Everybody got, somebody say the rapture is going to take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Will we be caught up to meet the Lord? Somebody say, boy, that's going to be quick, isn't it? We expect to be caught up in a moment and tweak them in an eye, but it takes us 20 and 30 minutes to get to church. We want God to catch us away real quick, amen, but everything that God wants us to do, we're going to do it real late. We want God to just to rip us out of here. I hope it's just a Sunday morning service and you just got to be there right on time. Hallelujah. Someone said, now that'd be real crazy. No, you still get to go to heaven. You just have to catch a second boat. I also believe this. I believe that that those people are going to be raptured. You know what? You know, there were people that just walk with God. There have been several things that happened, like raptures and people that were caught away. Enoch, you know, walked with God, and all of a sudden he got so close in his walk with God, and then all of a sudden he was not. I believe the rapture is going to take place. I believe there's going to be some Holy Ghost-filled church someplace. And all of a sudden they're going to get off in one wave of worship, one thing, amen. They're going to get so close to God and just slip away over to the other side. Amen. People don't even believe. How are you going to, you know, God never does anything unless we have faith for it anyhow. God doesn't do anything unless we have faith for it anyhow. We can't believe God to heal a common cold, but then we're going to believe him to crack the sky and then come down and catch the church out. We need to develop our faith to be real Christians. And Christians be on a little bumper sticker on the back of our car. And a little church service here, a little church service there. I mean, I'm talking about believers. I'm going to start teaching some stuff. I'm going to start teaching resurrection from the dead. You know what? If we don't have faith, you know, I was reading some scriptures in the Bible. I was talking about, listen, Paul was telling the saints about being raised from the dead. He said, if we don't believe in the resurrection from the dead, how can we be saved? Because Christ was raised from the dead. They said Benny Hinn had Reinhard Bonnke on the TV, and Reinhard had a testimony of a preacher that had died, and they had embalmed the preacher. And the woman had such faith that she took the embalmed body in the casket to one of Reinhard Bonnke's meetings. Somebody say faith. They put him in the basement of that meeting, and they say that man got up and lived. Somebody say faith. They believe that God raises from the dead. We have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. Sounds like it, looks like it, but it ain't got no power in it. I'm going to say powerlessness. We got to get back to it. We got to get out of the world completely. What do you mean by get out of the world? We got to believe what the Bible says. And every once in a while, we'll let stuff creep up on us and creep in on us. And before you know it, our standard of Christian living will be nothing. Amen. Now, this thing that I'm going to be talking to you about this morning, you got to have great faith to walk in it. Go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. At the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You remember Muhammad Ali used to always say, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. And if you look around, you know, you get to a room and you study things, there's people that walk in and everybody wants to be better than somebody else. But everybody wants to have the biggest house. Everybody wants to have the best wardrobe. Everybody's thinking about who they are. And that's what most worldly people are thinking about, being better than somebody else. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become, Matthew chapter 18, verse 2, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you won't get into the kingdom of heaven. We need to strive to enter into kingdom life. Now, we always think about these sins that people commit and do all this other stuff. Then we know that no vile person, you know, no abusers of themselves with mankind, nobody in freaky stuff is going to inherit the kingdom of God. Didn't it say that in the Bible? That people that practice those things won't get to inherit kingdom life? But it also says that you won't be able to enter that same kingdom. You'll be blocked out too unless you get converted and become as a little child. Change your mentality if you want to enter in. See, we all think if I'm not doing this practice, I'm not practicing that, hey, everything's okay, and I'm going to be able to enter into the best that God has for me. We read some scriptures, and I'm really on this thing, and that thing's going to start to manifest in my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, whereby we know that we have the Spirit of God is living on the inside of us. You know, He's living on the inside of us that we might know what is freely given to us. That's kingdom life. Knowing what's given to us is kingdom life. Well, God wants us to have that. And if we're going to walk in that realm, we've got to be converted and become like little children. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believes in me, it will be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck. Some say, humble yourself. One of the things that little children do, they haven't learned certain things that we're supposed to learn. We grow up and we learn some things. Most little children trust. Most little children love. They ain't got no previous history, so you better watch out for that one. Because I know these kind of people. I know that when they got a little track record, they growed up and figured out some things. The last time I did that, this happened. We have to go back to innocency. They know that most things are going to be all right with me because my mama's going to protect me. My daddy's going to protect me. Most things are all right. When we grow up, different people tell us, girl, let me tell you this. You better look out for yourself. These are the real facts of life. You better be thinking about number one. If you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will. You don't need to be nobody's doormat. And people preach this stuff like it's the gospel. There is a lifestyle that it's going to take great faith to walk in. If we really believe that Jesus is real and God is coming and we live forever, we fear no death. And we realize the days that we walk upon the earth, these are not all the days that we have. Everybody say, this is just the appetizers, what we've been telling people. The steaks to come. Some say, become as a little child. Little children can afford to do certain things. They say, hey, it's a long line. But when we get grown up, we think, hey, I only got 10 more years to go. One of the things that little children do is they humble themselves and they decide to live free. I decided that, look, my life, the best investment I could do with my life, and this is where I'm at, you may deal with me, amen, I'm here, is give it to others. The best thing I can do with my life, the best thing I can do with my life is give it to others. My life is too good just to waste it on myself. There are so many people that are miserable because all they got is themselves. All they think about is themselves. When you get so self-centered, you'll make yourself sick. But we've got to humble ourselves and be converted, even to the point of not being so selfish and always thinking that somebody's trying to take advantage of us. And wow, what if somebody does take advantage of you? Whoop-de-doo! You got to get to the point to where you're not concerned so much of who's going to use you. And I went through the Word of God and I started thinking about self. Everybody's thinking, self. Everybody say self. And I went through the whole Bible. The only thing, most of the time Jesus talked about himself, he said he took himself to pray. That's the only self-care you really need to think about. So he said, now that's really crazy. That sounds countercultural. No, that sounds Christian. And it's all throughout the Bible. And it's all right. That's a miserable life. Everybody's out to get me. You know, like the Wizard of Oz, you're walking through life. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Wonder what they're going to do now. It's going to take faith to live like an innocent child in this world. Free from fear of evil. Am I saying there's no evil out there? Yes, it is. You know why? They can live that way because they got faith, because the Bible teaches that even their angels, some say they got angels. See, you're not, if you don't believe in the supernatural, you're not going to be able to live like that. You're going to have to listen to Oprah and everybody else and sister girlfriend. Amen? But I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe in God and I believe in enough of it not to always have to be watching my back. People always wonder why they're bumping into stuff. Can't go forward because they're always trying to check their back out. Have enough faith to stop watching your back. God's got your back. But it takes faith to believe that. And you're never going to go forward until you stop thinking about your back. Always checking out your ear. Amen? Now listen. That in heaven, listen, take heed. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven they're angels. Some say, thank God for that. Now, you got to be crazy to walk like this. choose. And someone said, well,
you must be crazy. You got to be crazy.
No, you got to believe in angels. Amen. You got to believe in the supernatural. I don't watch my back because I believe I got angels that watch my back. The Bible teaches me that we've got angels that watch our back. Amen. Some of you can't walk like that because you haven't been converted. You got to be converted to believe this. Amen. You got to be converted to believe in the supernatural. Amen. To have these things start to happen for you. That in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Somebody say, thank God for that. And there are always people out there trying to offend people. Somebody say, offend. Cause them to stumble from walking like that. Preachers offend people. There are several ways you can offend somebody, you know, toughening people up. Don't nobody love you. Ain't nobody going to love you like you. Nobody going to take care of you like you're going to have to take care of yourself. If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love others? Excuses. Excuses for selfishness. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. If you believe that stuff, you wouldn't be the way you are. Amen? Why don't we get down to the root of it? Amen? Go here. Mark chapter 15, verse 29-31. And they passed by and railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroys the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. I tell you what, you can't do the work of God constantly trying to take care of yourself. If I was constantly worrying about my reputation and all this other stuff, I couldn't do the work of God. So say, come down from the cross and save yourself. The moment you start saving yourself and thinking that you're responsible to save yourself, you hop off the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking and said among themselves and scribes, he saved others, and himself he could not save. Said, this is the lifestyle of Jesus. It didn't say he could not save, said he would not save. That's one of the things they learned about Jesus. You know, he was always taking care of somebody else's stuff. But when it came down to him, he knew he was already taken care of. He delivered many people. He delivered that woman that was going to be stoned. And he stepped in and saved that woman's life. Said he was without sin, cast the first stone. He delivered her from execution. And here he was in execution, innocent. He saved all these other people, but what about himself? So we as Christians, we can learn from that, can't we? He saved others. You can't save yourself. Tell somebody that. There's nothing wrong with that kind of lifestyle. Go to Luke chapter 9, verse 25. This is a Christian message. Amen. He said unto them all, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself. So say, deny.
Deny.
Say it again, deny.
Deny.
If you can't tell yourself no sometimes, if you can't, you know, everyone's, it shouldn't be to where people always have to be the one checking us. Every once in a while, you got to look at yourself and evaluate yourself and deny some of our actions that are not righteous, that are not godly. We're expecting God to get in their face all the time. But if anyone's going to go after Jesus, if you're going to really accomplish Jesus, you got to realize something about yourself. You don't have it all together. And not everything you do is going to be right. And you got to learn self-denial and take up his cross. It's the cross of faith.
Amen.
And what's that cross? Believing in Jesus and following God and believing that God's got your back. And follow me. And whosoever will save his life. There's so many people out there trying to save their life. Trying to take care of myself. I'm giving a little bit of Jesus and I'm going to think about me. Everybody say, me, 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 me. Say it again.
Me.
Me, 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 me. You can't be your Savior and Jesus be your Savior at the same time. Man can't serve two masters, two Saviors. If you're going to believe in God, you got to believe that if you do what God tells you to be, there will be salvation in that. Am I trying to tell you to just wipe your life out and just go and accept whatever happens to you? No, I'm trying to tell you, if you have faith, and if you do what God tells you to do, none of those things will happen to you. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Nothing miserable people chasing rabbit trails trying to be somebody. Hey, man, you ever seen people just so eager to be somebody? Everybody say wannabes. Busy. Busy bees. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world, yet lose himself? Matthew 23, verse 12 says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. See, we think that if we just keep telling ourselves all this other stuff and building our ego, that that's going to make us somebody. Tell you what makes you somebody is he who lives on the inside of you. Paul said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And if I boast in anything, if I glory in anything, I'm going to glory in the Lord. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. That cross looked like defeat to so many people. The will of God in our life looks like defeat to people that are, it looks like foolishness. But Jesus saw the cross and saw the other side, which was victory. He said, on the outside, look like I'm going down, but when God sees me and God's going to raise me up, and it's going to be all right on the final day. But we don't want to act like Jesus. We don't want to live like Jesus. It takes faith to live like that. It takes faith to live. Somebody say, it takes faith to believe that you can give stuff away and yet get more back. I shouldn't be as blessed as half of y'all in here. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't be. I wish they'd study it sometime. I wish they'd study what came in and what's left after it came in. Hallelujah. And they'd see the life of a true believer that allows God to provide for them. That miracle happens. We've had times, you can ask Brother Jesse, we've had times where we've added up more than we've actually spent with, I'm not talking about debt people. We had money and we didn't know anywhere where this stuff came from. And y'all know we keep good records. Put it in the computer, copy it, write it down, do whatever we got to do. Some say the supernatural. God makes ways. God makes ways. There is a God out there that will take care of you. But you got to have faith and have a lifestyle that matches your faith. Get it all now and apply it to your life. I'm talking about humbling yourself so that God can exalt you. I'm talking about becoming a believer and a true liver this life in your lifetime here. So many of us want to be like Mark chapter 14, verse 54. This is one thing I caught with people. Some people want to hang with God, but when they see the cross, here Jesus is on the cross, and Peter followed him afar off. See, there are a lot of disciples that want to follow Jesus from afar. He said, he that would follow me must deny himself and take up his cross. People that follow from afar, they don't believe there's a cross. They don't believe there's responsibility. But Peter followed from afar, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Jesus is trying to save the world. He's still trying to pour himself out to mankind. He's trying to make a difference. He's trying to get people. Hey, look, take up the cross of Jesus Christ and make a difference for somebody else. All they got is 70 years. You're going to live forever. So why don't you take that little bit of stuff that you got and pour it out on somebody else?
What about me? That ain't the way to live. I don't have time for that. I got to worry about my own stuff. I got to worry about my own stuff.
I want us to get to the point to where we're no longer afraid of people. Amen. That we can have faith and confidence in the life that Jesus lived and start to live it. Amen. And not compromise it. Not mix worldly theology and worldliness into this life of faith that God has given us. Most people are afraid to live like this. Go over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 4. It says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, And after that, they have no more that they can do. We're afraid of people just because they can talk about us. We're afraid of people because they might borrow something, not give it back. And he said, don't even be afraid of people. He said, don't even be afraid of people, even if they have the ability to kill you. You know why? Somebody say, this is just the appetizer. Because they can't kill you. If Jesus was afraid of wicked people, he would have never came down here. He knew what we were going to do. He knew the price of love. The price of love sometimes, the cost of love sometimes is vulnerability. And sometimes it's a wounds. And sometimes it's affliction. I'm not talking about just getting beat up by the devil. I'm talking about when you want to serve God and you want to make a difference, every once in a while you got to get yourself out there and take some bruises. Every once in a while you're probably going to get talked about. So don't be afraid of them. If I was afraid of people, you think I would have come south? When I was a kid, I thought all they did to us was hang us. Hang us and put us in jail and talk about us riding on the back of buses. But we got to learn not to be afraid to go anywhere God tells us to go and do anything God told us to do. You know, you'll be able to take up serpents in your hand. I believe that's some church people. They'll bite you, but they won't hurt. Glory to God! It said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you. So that's when you're blessed. Because you know why? It don't matter. So they don't be afraid of them. Some of you are afraid to step out in your ministry right now because of what somebody else might say, what somebody else might do. Some say, I ain't going to be bound by that no more. There's a measure of self-sacrifice. Amen. It ain't going to be easy. Crystal got out there and did some things one time in the first service she had. Boy, they tell her off real good. First service that Crystal ever had, Crystal had the whole church service to herself. Boy, they wear her little booty out. Amen. And after they finished, they said, I hope it hurt your feelings. So that you might know. And Crystal called me on the phone. I was away at Brother Hagin's meeting, I think, or something like that. Crystal called on the phone and said, they did this to me. What are you going to do about it? I said, nothing. I said, you know what you need to do? I said, guess what? Get used to it. Because it'll probably happen again. If it happened to Jesus, and if it happened to every disciple, do you think it's not going to happen to you? But what are you afraid of? You still here? Where are they? The truth will always outlive every lie. No weapon formed against you ever is going to be able to prosper if you really believe in God. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no power, have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him that which hath power to cast into hell. Say I unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But every hair on your head are numbered. Fear not therefore. Ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Don't fear it. Don't even think about it. Don't even give it a second thought. Some say living without fear in your life. Living by faith. You got to realize God loves you more than anybody on earth could ever think about hating you. God loves you more than the devil hates you. Amen. Believe in that. There's not an onslaught the devil can give you that God can't fix. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Look at somebody and say, I ain't going to be afraid no more. How do you think Jesus could stand up in front of those people and do all that stuff? Because he knew. Somebody came out against Jesus, and they came out to get Jesus, and one of the disciples, amen, the one that warmed herself by the fire one moment, took out a knife and cut off the guy's ear. And Jesus said, don't you know that I have there's angels up in heaven right now, and all I got to do is speak the word and they'd be here? How many are you getting delivered today? How many are getting delivered today? Amen. Let people get tired of saving themselves. Glory to God. It says this, I also say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men. What's talking about confess? Just running your mouth about who you know? I'm talking about living this lifestyle. That's a confession that God is real. Amen? Don't deny God. Luke chapter 12. Go to verse 16.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're not going to be afraid to be abused. We're not going to be afraid to get misused. We're not going to get caught up into that stuff. I like this Brother Marty Blackwell that was here. Brother Marty works for Brother Hagin. And Marty was in here and he stayed at our house. I said, Marty, what about all this Hank Hanegraaff stuff? You know, and all the people that are talking about Brother Hagin. Anybody know Hank Hanegraaff and what he says about Brother Hagin and all this other stuff? Marty looked at me in my face and said, who? Brother who? Somebody say, thank God. They weren't worried about him. I figured I was defending Brother Hagin more than he was defending himself.
Glory to God. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And it brought, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. Everybody say, I. Say, I will. Everybody say, I will. Pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Pride. My barns, my goods, my seed. God tells you he gives seed to the sower. We really think we're something sometimes, don't we? And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. You know how many saints we find out living like this? They think that this life of victory is going to make them sit on thrones and sit around like fat kings and queens. So say, take your ease. It's not the heart of God, people. Take your ease, eat and drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, fool. There are a lot of foolish people. Five wise virgins, five foolish virgins. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. It sounds like the midnight hour, doesn't it? Then who shall thou then those things be which thou hast provided? The Bible says the wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous. So he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. They say we're not supposed to lay up treasure. No, you're not supposed to lay up treasure towards yourself. It's not rich toward God. And he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, so he said, now you talking some crazy stuff, Pastor Rod. He said, therefore I say unto you, take a little bit of thought. Don't think so much. Doesn't it say that? Look at your Bible. Doesn't it say, don't think so much? Anybody say it where it said, don't think so much about yourself? No, what does it say? Take no. Someone say no. Thought for your life. That's what Jesus said. Everybody say, what about me? Everybody say that. What about me? You can't do anything with it anyhow. Might tell you to go live under a bridge somewhere? No. Because you know what? You can't keep yourself from under the bridge anyhow. It says, take no thought for your life. What shall we eat? Neither for the body, what shall we put on? For life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Go skip on down to verse 28. If God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will God clothe you, O ye of little faith? See, people think that faith, most faith people, you know, their faith is nothing. True faith teaches us to live like Jesus. O ye of little faith, selfish people are faithless people. They don't believe that God is really there to take care of them. They don't believe that, you know, when they said, oh, these little ones have angels. They don't believe in that. O ye of little faith, and seek not ye what ye should eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the
do the nations of the world seek after? Your Father knows you need this stuff. So there is a God. He knows. He knows you need to look good. He knows you need to smell good. He knows you. He knows all this stuff for you. God is more concerned about your future than you are. Before you ever formed, he had it all worked out and planned. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. If we could just get this in our spirit, maybe just one person this morning can get that in their spirit. If we would just do what God tells us to do, live the life of God, live the life of righteousness. If you just seek first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, to give you the kingdom. He don't want you to earn the kingdom. He wants to give it to you by faith. And what God gives you, no man can steal from you. In close, I'm going to read you that scripture. This is how God gives us the kingdom. God wants to meet your need. Have you figured out you can't meet it yourself? Sandra, this is the scripture right here that God is revealing that I'm just putting inside my heart and inside the heart of those that believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. This goes right along with what we were talking about this morning. See, all these things do the world seek after. That lifestyle of self-care, self, all that stuff, myself, 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 what about me? So we have not received that spirit. We've been converted. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know, that we might know the things that are freely given us. It takes faith to believe that. I mean, you don't got to knock nobody off to get it. You don't have to strive for it. So that God reveals it to us and we receive it. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I speak to you. Some of you are just going to get up under revelation and get blessed just because of what you know. Some of you, that's the only hope you got. That's the only hope some of us have got. It's not over for you. You can get into the Holy Ghost, get into prayer, and God will start to produce some things in your life and turn some things around instantaneously. Give you things because of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that's in you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for life, and we thank you for life more abundantly. Lord, we thank you for rhema revelation. And Father God, I pray that these people all week long come out of that world, Father God, come out of that negative mindset and get into faith. Faith that you're out there. Faith that you're active in their future. Faith that you got stuff for them, that you can handle it and you can do it. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the God of suddenlies, Father God. Teach them how to start to operate in supernatural faith and give them the things that they need. Bills paid. Jobs. Restoration and relationship, Father God. That they might be able to know the things that are freely given to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let your word abide today. Speak to my heart, Lord. Oh, my God. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you. If I can hear, then I'll know what.